This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned. 9:20, Friday, the 2nd of September. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, before we find out how the Singapore Stock Exchange will be doing, a quick update on our Bursa Malaysia. FBM KLCI currently in the green. It is up 0.3%, yes, to 1,495 points. Now, turning our attention to Singapore, the Straits Times Index there continues to outperform in the region, managing to stay in the green on a year-to-date basis, up 3%. Even though we see most countries in the region buckling under selling pressure, no thanks to the US Federal Reserve remaining steadfast in its commitment to hike rates.
And yesterday, according to a quarterly survey released by the Monetary Authority of Singapore, economists have lowered their GDP forecasts for 2022 from an increase of 3.8% to 3.5%. So can the Lion City remain resilient as the global economic outlook continues to dwindle?
For some answers, we speak to Jeff Howie, market strategist at Singapore Exchange. Good morning, Jeff. Always good to speak to you. Now, help us understand why Singapore has managed to stay in positive territory on a year-to-date basis with a 3% appreciation, with only Jakarta doing better in ASEAN. What explains this outperformance?
Yeah, well, I guess for the first 8 months, as you say, it is a 3% price return, but dividends have also added to that. So it's actually a 7% total return, and that ranks as the most defensive developed economy benchmark for those first 8 months of the year. Now, what are the reasons? I guess the three standout major reasons would be, firstly, banks globally have been a relatively more defensive sector because banks, of course, they borrow short, they lend long, and thus generally maintain these positive correlations in their net interest income to interest rates. So we saw for our trio here for the second quarter of this year at $6 billion, that was the highest combined quarterly net interest income of the trio of banks ever, beating the recent combined quarterly high, I think around $5.8 billion back in the third quarter of September 2019. So that's a very big part of the STI. They make up 45% thereabouts of the STI, but they only make up 5% of the FTSE Developed Index. So you've got a pretty decent sector difference there in terms of the impact of banks. Secondly, there's been that decent regional revenue reach of Singapore stocks that we have. Exemplifying that, if you want to look at some of the strongest constituents of the benchmark this year, you have a utility company with assets in Singapore and India. You have a China-based shipbuilder and an automobile distributor in Indonesia. And that comparative defensive marginal return, I guess the third thing would be the decline of technology stocks, which command a much higher sector weight in the big global benchmarks than they do the STI.
And on a year-to-date basis, Jeff, the stocks that have contributed to the positive performance of the STI have been oil and gas names and even the property companies like City Development and Capital Land. Can you help us understand why?
Yeah, absolutely. This is, I guess, a little bit less of a macro point. That next point in terms of the STI constituents is that these company restructuring, transformation, strategic initiatives to improve operational efficiency have been at work in the stock market here since 2020, with the ultimate goal to improve shareholder value. So City Developments, it posted a record profit in the first half of this year, reversing a small net loss in the first half of last year. That was due to a divestment gain from the sale of the Millennium Hotel in Seoul, as well as a gain on some deconsolidation of the hospitality trust it has from the group. Capital Land Investment as well, it emerged from a very significant restructure back in September 2021. It's now transformed itself to be one of the world's largest real estate investment managers. Singtel, its net profit for its last FY, I think, ended March. That grew significantly, I think, something like 2.5 times. And again, a net exceptional gain from a divestment of, I think it was a 70% equity stake in its Australia Tower network. And then you have Keppel Corp among the top rankers too in terms of performance so far this year. And it has obviously been pursuing transformation to this integrated sustainable urbanisation solutions provider. So you have those transformation processes as well on the micro side complementing what we're seeing on the macro side.
But on the flip side, right, technology, consumer cyclicals and REITs have continued to be a laggard sector, have continued to be laggard sectors on a year-to-date basis. What's driving their weak performance, and do you think this trend will continue?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because there were always going to be three sectors that were expected to be sensitive to this current bout or the current driver of inflation. Consumers are tightening their belts. Thus, the moves have very much continued to be measured so far in the second half, largely driven, I guess, by these current macroeconomic themes of decelerating global growth amid all this new structurally driven cost push global inflation, which is also being driven by these demand pull factors. So it's interesting with the tightening of the belt theme, had the impact it is having on sectors. For instance, globally, consumer cyclical stocks, you know, those discretionary stocks have lagged the consumer staples. And one of our local and listed retailers here, they did maintain a month ago or so that the price pressures were pointing to obviously this more cautious spending outlook. But when there is belt tightening from consumers, they tend to focus on essentials and make price conscious choices, which means preparing more meals at home more frequently or looking for house brands products in the retail arena. So if you're looking for more affordable value products, this is basically providing that dynamic that we do learn in the economic textbooks, that consumer cyclicals like restaurants and hotels can sometimes not be the beneficiary of what we're seeing. And it's more the consumer staples like the retailers when the inflation is actually inducing this belt tightening measure.
And Jeff, is it possible that Singapore will remain an outperformer for the rest of the year, despite the myriad of headwinds from increasing inflation, continued geopolitical headwinds, slowing global growth, you know, the disorderly market adjustments to monetary policy tightening?
Yeah, well, growth, inflation, and I guess really that inflationary impact on growth, it has been carrying this uneven impact on the global economic sectors, and by extension, into the stock market sectors and industries. And we've seen the STI, I guess, be more of a beneficiary of that so far this year. But the outlook for the remainder, the next 4 months or so, does remain very highly fluid. Consumer-facing sectors here and in the region, they were expected to rebound as the economy reopens. Construction sector also benefits from this style of reopening we're seeing across the region. But we are expected to see some moderation in potential capacity constraints of global electronics and so forth. So exports, products and services will clearly take the cues from the region. There's those basing impacts that you're seeing in Malaysia, we're also seeing in Singapore. So very much like our trade-centered economy, with so much of our revenue in Singapore reported to outside of Singapore and across the region, what happens, particularly in China in the lead up and after the October 16 National Congress and across the region, will really be the determinant of that.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. That was Jeff Howie, market strategist at Singapore Exchange, telling us how defensive the Singapore market has been on a year-to-date basis. So if you combine yield together with total returns, just price returns, the return so far has been 7%, one of the best performing in ASEAN. Up next, we have the property show on the common mistakes made when renovating your home. That's happening after the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.